friend, Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, to the Turkey vote, the runoff on May 28th. We welcome Svante Cornell. Svante is co-founder and director of the Institute for Security and Development Policy, director also of the Central Asia Caucus Institute and Silk Road Studies Program. Svante, a very good evening to you. In Europe, we're looking to the edges of Europe in Turkey, and there's a headline from Reuters within these last hours. Erdogan rival, Mr. Kılıçdaroğlu, the leader of the opposition, Erdogan rival pledges to repatriate all refugees before Turkey runoff. The explanation, Mr. Tayyip, Erdogan's challenger, has sharpened his tone on migrants, on vowing to send all migrants back to their countries once elected in a runoff date. This, of course, is a local matter having to do with the refugees who came from the catastrophe in Syria over these last years. However, it speaks to Kılıçdaroğlu looking for advantage over Erdogan. What is your measure of Erdogan's prospects for extending his 23 years of authority? Good evening to you, Svante.
Great to be with you again. Well, I would say that Erdogan has pretty strong prospects of extending his authority. Obviously, this is not a level playing field, and it never was in terms of an election. We can also talk about how the opposition decided to field what I would consider to be the wrong candidate. Candidate selection, as we know in U.S. politics, is important. It's important in Turkey as well. We have a fairly gray bureaucrat who also is both a religious and ethnic minority, which in a very Sunni Turkish nationalist nation might not be the best person to try to unseat Erdogan. But what he's trying to do, I think, is to gain the votes of the third candidate, Mr. Sinan Oğan, who is an ultra-nationalist and who ran specifically on getting the Syrians out, if you will. And obviously, he has said that he will endorse whoever of these two major candidates who is closest to his program. And I think Mr. Kılıçdaroğlu, out of desperation, in spite of being a social democrat at heart, is now trying to go after those votes and Mr. Sinan Oğan's endorsement.
Malcolm. So I understand that you don't need a majority in the runoff. Whoever gets the most votes wins, right? And what happens with the parliament? Is it possible that Erdogan still is the majority, and even if he loses the election? If so, how will the government be able to work?
Correct. He does. His coalition has a majority in parliament already, and that's not going to a runoff. So if he loses this runoff, we have a split government, which Turkey has never had. In fact, his whole presidential system is very new to the country. I think that's unlikely still. I think the most likely situation is that Mr. Erdogan, thanks to his control over media and financial resources, manages to get out the vote in a way that the opposition simply is not able to do.
Mr. Erdogan's strength is his continuity of purpose over these 23 years. Right now, however, he's at the edge of being unpopular. He did not gain 50% of the vote. What did we learn from this? What is his weakness? What is his strength after this vote?
His weaknesses have become clear. His party only got 35% of the vote. That's much lower than it got in previous elections. I mean, back in 2007, he had almost 50%. So he has gotten more unpopular. But what I think this election really tells us is that Bill Clinton's or his associates' words about the economy stupid are not always applying in countries that are. Where identity politics are important, voters sometimes vote not on the basis of pocketbook issues, but on the basis of identity issues, which in the Turkish case is about the view of the country as a great power, and also on the basis of their ethno-religious identity, even though they might be aware that from the purpose of their pocketbook, this might not be the best way to vote. And I think there are implications for understanding U.S. politics as well on the basis of that analysis.
So your measure here is that this vote was an identity vote, not to do with the outrageous inflation.
To mobilize on the basis that he paraded in front of warships, drones and other types of military machinery, eliciting this idea of a great power. Now, we have to remember Turkey is the heir to the Ottoman Empire. And this loss of empire, we've seen in Russia what loss of empire can lead to. We see that on a daily basis in Ukraine. In Turkey, it hasn't gone that far. But the loss of empire 100 years ago is something that still animates a lot of people in Turkey. And Mr. Erdogan has played to that. He's also been able to, he at heart is an Islamist, but Turkey has his project of Islamizing Turkey has failed. But he's understand that what really is a hegemonic ideology in Turkey is nationalism, ethnic Turkish nationalism. And he's gravitated in the direction of nationalism. His rhetoric has become more nationalist. He's aligned himself with nationalist forces, both in the state, military, intelligence services, and in politics. And I think we've seen that he's a survivor. He knows, at the end of the day, how to portray himself in a way that aligns with the wishes of just enough Turks to get elected.
Malcolm?
What would you say would be the likely changes in Erdogan's foreign policy regarding NATO, regarding the Ukraine war? And if, in fact, Erdogan loses, would the opposition make any major shifts in foreign policy?
A lot of the posturing that Erdogan has been doing lately have been for the purposes of the election, such as stopping NATO enlargement into Scandinavia. I think that will gradually disappear. Those problems will disappear because of the economic situation. He will have to, so to speak, try to play nice with his Western allies to some extent. Turkey is going to get a little bit easier to deal with, not harder, although that's going to be a difference of degree. If the opposition wins, I think first, at least in the short term, we'll have a much easier partner in Turkey that's going to try to rebuild the relationship with NATO, with the United States. But in the long term, I'm not so sure, because the deeper forces in the Turkish state that have gained increasing influence over Erdogan in the military and in the intelligence services will continue to be influential. Plus, we'll have a situation with a very weak government, because at the end of the day, if Mr. Kılıçdaroğlu wins, Erdogan and his allies control parliament, and even his own coalition has only really one thing in common, which is that they're against Erdogan.
There were big promises made to the earthquake areas of Turkey, and I believe that they voted surprisingly for Erdogan. Does he have the money to follow through on those promises, Fante?
I don't think there is any way that he does, or that any Turkish government at this point has. They're going to have to come to international financial institutions for assistance. But I think there are still a lot of things we want to find out about this election, including what exactly happened in these areas where, of course, people not being at their normal places of residence, there might have been some shenanigans in the elections that we're not aware of.
Malcolm?
There were many predictions that Erdogan would not allow the election, allow election defeat or not getting the majority. And he came so close. Is there any evidence of election tampering as of now? And if he really wanted to, could he have had a different outcome of the election?
We just have 30 seconds, Fante.
I think there are allegations, but everybody's now focused on the second round. So that's not the. But there are issues that have been contentious on what actually happened. If it's a close election, he could use state institutions to try to alter it. But if there is more than a 3 or 4 point gap, I think it would be very difficult.
Svante Cornell is the co-founder and director of the Institute for Security and Development Policy. He is also director of the Central Asia Caucasus Institute and Silk Road Studies Program, the joint center operated in cooperation with the American Foreign Policy Council. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,